and 107.5 FM W298DK Amory, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. This morning, the Supreme Court is expected to release some decisions from this past season among the rulings that could be coming down, whether Donald Trump is immune from criminal prosecution for anything he did while in office. The hot weather could break more weather records today. It's already messed up train service in the New York City area again. Along the Texas Gulf Coast, it's time to clean up floodwaters brought on by Tropical Storm Alberto. ABC's Jim Ryan says South Padre Island got hit by high winds and heavy rain.
The storm also spun off at least one tornado that damaged Bonnie Crager's home.
Some people will probably move out, but it's my home. I just want to stay here. We love the land here.
Don't look now, but forecasters say another tropical storm may affect the same area early next week.
The cybersecurity firm Kaspersky is denying it is a security threat. The Commerce Department banned use of its software in the U.S. The company is based in Moscow and its CEO is Russian. This is ABC News.
I'm James Kelly with WLAK News. Your news in depth. Find it in the news section on the WLAK website at lakeair.radio.
Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. The Dane County clerk is warning other local election officials about an email he calls an intimidation tactic. The message tells clerks they may be committing election fraud if they send out the newest absentee ballot envelopes. Scott McDonald tells the State Journal it's not true. Thursday is the deadline for clerks to mail absentee ballots for the August primary. People having a mental health crisis would be better served by social workers than police. That's according to social justice groups backing a new package of bills in Congress.
This legislative agenda reimagines what community safety looks like, making really important investments in community health and prevention programs that help to prevent and deter violence.
Megan Rogers is with the Nonviolent Peace Force. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WLAK News, I'm James Kelly. A Duluth jury has found 22-year-old Sanusi Tamsir Bangura guilty of aiding and abetting second-degree murder in relation to an August drive-by shooting. According to court records, Bangura and his co-defendant Brandon Capone Williams Gillard shot and killed Paris Allen and injured another man on West 2nd Street on August 2nd. Williams Gillard was found guilty on the same charges in December, and he was sentenced to 40 years in prison. Bangura's sentencing date has not yet been scheduled. Two teenagers were arrested on Wednesday in relation to the alleged assault and robbery of a 75-year-old man in the Duluth Entertainment Convention Center parking lot. According to the Duluth Police Department, the robbery occurred on Monday afternoon around 4 p.m. and left the victim with some minor injuries for which he refused medical attention. Law enforcement authorities identified the teens allegedly involved on Monday, but did not take them into custody immediately as the investigation was ongoing. And that's what you need to know. For WLAK News, I'm James Kelly.
The Brewers bow to the Padres. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Brewers with a 7-6 loss to the Padres in San Diego. The crew giving up four runs in the first inning. Christian Yelich losing a pop fly in the lights at Petco Park, allowing San Diego to score. This one had a lot of twists and turns. Manager Pat Murphy.
No question. It was back and forth. I mean, a lot happened in this game. They turned a big double play there at a big time and the ball down. Great play. We lost the ball in the lights that you can't do anything about. Yeah. I mean, we walked the leadoff hitter to open the game, four pitches. We gave up two 0-2 home runs, very unusual, back-to-back. I've never seen that in 40-plus years of baseball.
Brewers pitcher Robert Gasser will be out for at least a year. The 25-year-old lefty has agreed to have Tommy John surgery for his sore left elbow. NFL, the Packers have added another place kicker to the roster. They claim James Turner off waivers from the Lions. Turner kicked for the Michigan Wolverines last season on their way to a national championship. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. Showers and storms possible today, a high near 72. Some of those storms could have heavy rain. We're talking an inch or two of rain possible today. Another inch or two possible tonight with showers and thunderstorms, a low of 67. For Saturday, scattered storms and a high near 77.
Right now, it's 62.
The big winners are in for the Scotty Summer Contest.
Exciting. Let's listen to the calls. Hi, who's this?
This is Tori.
You're one of our grand prize winners.
All right, man. Great to hear this morning.
We got some good news for you.
Okay.
You are one of our grand prize winners.
Really?
Yes.
Awesome.
Winning is fun. Just ask Tammy from Baraboo and Tori from Kewaunee.
Thank you. That's great.
Listen for future chances to text and win on your local Civic Media radio station and the app.
Here's to experiencing it all this summer in Wisconsin. Every deliciously cheesy, rockin', magical, fireworks-filled, festival-loving moment. There's Cheese Curd Fest in Ellsworth, Strawberry Fest in Cedarburg, Festival of the Arts in Stevens Point, and the Renaissance Fair in Bristol, Honor the Earth Pow Wow in Hayward, Mile of Music in Appleton, Venetian Fest, Bratfest, Summerfest. So many fests for your whole crew. Find them all at TravelWisconsin.com. Sponsored by Travel Wisconsin.
Pete Schwaba.
On the next Nightlight, Natalie Yar from the Capital Times joins me to discuss film incentives in Wisconsin. And as always, Max Inc. host Terry Barr shares some great new music.
Nightlight with Pete Schwaba, weeknights 7 till 9.
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK, Amory's home for Nightlight with Pete Schwaba.
All right. Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. Text us at that same number. Sandy, what is the music about today, man?
You mean the celebration? We're celebrating. I found out by happenstance yesterday that today is my dear friend Earl Ingram's birthday. And it's not just any birthday. It's his 70th birthday. Welcome to the decade. And so today that's what we're celebrating. We're celebrating Earl, actually.
Well, let me, Sandy, before we go to the phone lines, I wanted to include you in this conversation because we started it a little bit on yesterday, and all I could think of was I really wish I had Sandy here to explain, you know, what this really means. And it's about Louisiana's Ten Commandments law. It will test religion-friendly courts, experts say. The state's Republican governor signed a measure requiring taxpayer-financed schools to prominently post a specific version of the commandments by January 1st. And so, Sandy,
yeah, and I think
can you explain?
I think it's required in every classroom.
Yeah, including universities.
Well, to me, this dispute ends up sounding like a dispute between people who are religious and people who aren't religious. And the fact is that the people who wrote the Constitution, who wanted to separate church from state, were all religious people. They wanted to preserve their independence and their right to pursue religion as they saw fit, as a matter of conscience. And so they would be rolling over right now with the notion that there would be a state mandate to require, for instance, the Ten Commandments, but even and then even more specific than that, a specific version of the Ten Commandments. So the liturgy has to be very specific that the government is requiring in every classroom. I mean, it's not anti-religion to say no. We want to make sure that people can worship the religion as they see fit, and there are plenty of people out there who are very religious, who will be upset by this. Plenty of people who are Christian, plenty of people who are Jewish who observe the Ten Commandments. There are people in Islam who have a different view of religion who would be upset by having that particular tenet required in every classroom. There are Buddhists, there are Hindus.
Native Americans.
There are Native Americans. There's all different religions that people pursue as a matter of conscience, all of which I'm sure have social value, okay? Have social value in terms of the value system that they imbue in the people that observe them. But this is just so upside down. You know, where this is a slippery slope. You're going to require the Ten Commandments pretty soon, is it going to be the gospel according to Mark? And then which version of it is going to be required reading? I mean, the one is not different from the other.
You know, Sandy, it is getting more and more, that slippery slope that you're talking about is revealing itself more and more, and people are pushing this envelope more and more. You couldn't have even imagined 30 years ago that somebody would try this, even 20 years ago.
Well, the thing that surprises me is that many of these people who are pushing this, one of the aspects that is involved with Islamophobia is the notion that Sharia law will be imposed if we have too many Muslims in a particular place, too many people observing Islam in a particular place. We're going to get Sharia law. Well, this is kind of a Christian, or at least a Judeo-Christian version of Sharia law, where now we're beginning to dictate what kind of portions of the liturgy are required in each classroom. And, you know, requiring that the Ten Commandments be posted, as I said, can quickly lead to required reading of particular portions of the Bible, for instance. What's the difference?
So, Sandy, it's one thing to think about it. It's another thing to bring it into law. They brought this into law. And yet, you know, our phone lines are open at 844-967-2789. Sandy, does it mean you're anti-Christian by saying this is not right?
Well, that's the problem with the argument, because there are people who will leap to the conclusion that, oh, you're anti-religion, you're anti-Judeo-Christian tradition if you're against the Ten Commandments, which resides in the Old Testament, not the New. But no, I mean, absolutely not. I think rather I'm worried about the slippery slope of what might be required next, okay? And that's the problem. That's the problem. And also I'm worried about those whose conscience doesn't involve the Ten Commandments, but involve some other tenet, and what is their reaction to this kind of a requirement?
Well, there are already other states lined up. You know, they want the same thing. And so, you know, you just come to a point where, and I said this before, you have a right to your religious beliefs, Sandy, in your own home, Sandy, in your house of worship. But you don't have a right to do it and force it on other people in public spaces.
Well, the Constitution. We have a Constitution. It's something that is superimposed over every state. Every state, in order to become a state, had to include a provision in their Constitution that they would abide by the federal Constitution and be subject to it. So it is the federal Constitution that controls this kind of a question. And which amendment were we dealing with to set up this? It was the very first amendment, the one that we wanted. We were most interested: freedom of speech, freedom of religion, okay, and the freedom to exercise it. And that freedom is infringed for all of those in a public school who would not view the Ten Commandments as part of their liturgy, okay? That's like requiring your child to sit through a process of a madrasa, okay? That's not public education.
All right, let's go to Gary from Sussex. Good morning to you, Gary. You say what?
Hey, you guys. Well, obviously, you know where I'm coming from.
Wait a minute, Gary. You got to start this conversation with something other than leaping into that subject.
Yeah, well.
No.
You guys are talking
It's Earl's birthday, Gary.
Oh, I'm sorry. I just got on the phone. Happy birthday, Earl. You're 70 years old finally.
Yeah, okay.
Well, and I'm glad that I finally got there.
I just wanted to make sure we had the proper level of civility here before we leap into a discussion.
Yeah. And then to you, Sandy, happy birthday whenever that comes around.
Yeah, well, it's not for a while.
I think you're older than both of us.
So
I'm 72, and Earl finally made the 70. I'm glad.
So, Gary.
Okay, back to the. Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
Back to the subject. I have no problems at all with, because we are going so far to the left, and to try to bring us back to the, I think go really far to the right would be really good to bring us back to the middle. Now, when Sandy was talking about Muslims, well, we all believe in the God, the father of Abraham, because the Muslims believe in Abraham, the same Abraham that I believe in, you know, or, you know, that's in the Bible. And Ishmael, his son, this was basically
Gary,
started
before
the Muslim
we go,
religion.
Before we go down go that ahead. Road, Gary.
Now we're talking about Abrahamic religions, but you know that the world is not comprised of all people who are under the tree of Abraham, and in fact, a significant portion of the world, a significant part of the population of the world, probably more than half, is not. And the United States is continuing to represent people who don't have religions that fall within the tree of Abraham. So, it's just kind of us trying to define what liturgy we want people to have, which I think is what the Constitution was worried about.
Gary, and let me ask you, you said we've gone too far to the left, and so we're coming back to the right. What does that have to do with the Ten Commandments in public schools?
Right. Yeah. Well, which part of the public schools have gone, you know, which part of them has gone left that we need to bring back to the right? Are we talking about woke issues?
No, it's secular humanism, okay? And that is not having God part of our life, and that we are God that are ourselves. Do whatever you want to do if it feels good, just as long as it doesn't hurt somebody. This is secular humanism that has been going on for the last 30, 40 years and being taught in the public school. But the point that I'm making is there's nothing in the Ten Commandments that is bad. Even if you never even heard of God and you're on some island and there's only 200 people on there, they still, human nature says, don't kill. Don't go out there and make love to your neighbors, you know, whatever. Don't steal. Tell the truth.
Hey Gary, how well is it working
for everybody?
How well is it working in this country? The Ten Commandments.
I think that every single person, whether you're an atheist or not, try to follow the Ten Commandments because it's good human nature.
Well, it is in many ways reflects natural law as much as the golden rule, right? Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. I mean that sums it up in even more basic way. However, all of those values are things that I'm not sure will be promoted by having the Old Testament prominently featured in each room.
So what
if, next to, I suppose, the Pledge of Allegiance.
So what if I don't believe in that? Why should I be forced, and my children don't believe in that? Why should they be forced into having to deal with that, Gary?
So why don't you go to the Supreme Court and tell the justices to take it off the wall? Because if I remember right, the Ten Commandments are on the walls in the Supreme Court.
What does
and
that?
A lot of other courts in the United States.
I don't think so. I'm going to check that out, Gary. But I'm pretty confident that isn't the case.
Okay. Well, I'm only giving you my opinion, and I think that's what my opinion is.
Yeah.
But
well,
I think it's a good thing.
Well, okay. Gary, thank you very much for the call, man. Really appreciate it. You know, 844-967-2789 is the number. Phone lines are open. Your thoughts.
Lake Air, 1260 AM WLAK.
Hey there, folks. It's Carrie Joy with your Work Money Minute and a tip about saving money when you are renting a car. So you know how you get to the rental counter and then they ask you if you want to prepay for gas so you don't have to bring the car back full? Well, I used to get sweaty in those moments as I wasn't sure what the right money choice was. Prepaying for gas at the rental counter? Not worth it. First off, rental companies often charge more per gallon on the prepay than local gas stations do at the pump. And even if they're about equal, fees or taxes on your rental can tip the scales against prepaying. And you'd have to return that car completely empty to get the full value of buying prepaid gas. Otherwise, you're just buying gas for Avis and Budget or whoever. Quick note, make sure you have time to refill the tank before you return the rental. If you don't prepay and you don't fill up, they are going to charge you like they have refilled that car with liquid gold. For more tips, head to workmoney.org. Till next time, this is Carrie Joy saying, take good care.
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK, Amory's home for Matt and Air on Air.
All right. Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. Text us that same number. And it's Friday. It means Friday's with my co-host, Sandy Williams. If you're just joining us, I don't know what's going on with Sandy and his choice of music, but it's...
It's a natural source choice of music, Earl. Today's going to be celebrated by everyone from now on. It's June 21st, which is Earl Ingram Day.
And,
it's his birthday.
Well, let's do this. Let's go through the phone lines. Once again, we're talking about the Ten Commandments in the public schools. And I talked about it yesterday, but I really wanted to hear Sandy's educated view on it. Let's go to CJ. CJ, you're up.
Well, happy birthday, Earl.
Thank you.
I hope you have a great day. I was calling, actually. I've been on hold for quite a while. I was calling about the economy that you guys were talking about before.
Go ahead. What about the economy? What about the economy?
Well, it's funny how you guys want to go to macroeconomics when we're living in Biden's microeconomics. You want to deflect from his failures. We've had a record of both presidents. And I think people realize now when they try to afford rent, housing, and the interest rates that you speak of, inflation, when Biden says it was 9% when he came into office, what was the real number? I'd like to ask Sandy that question. What was inflation when Biden took office, Sandy?
Hey, CJ, while Sandy's pondering that, I want to ask you, is inflation only in America?
Pardon me?
Is inflation only happening in America?
Well, it was 1.4 when he came in.
I asked you, is inflation...
I know.
Okay, so...
You always try to deflect the question from the answer.
No, CJ.
Because the answer, Sandy, is 1.4. Biden claims that was 9%. Larry Summers warned.
CJ, why don't you check out what global inflation was? Okay.
Well, let's look. This was at the beginning, the after the 8 months or 10 months of the pandemic. Okay. And the world was in recession,
The world was in recession,
and the interest rate reflected that. However, there had just been a series of $7.8 trillion of deficits run in the prior 4 years with a tax reduction that had an exceedingly latent inflationary potential. That latent inflationary potential was realized. It had a fuse on it that took time for it to be realized. Along with the pandemic, which bottled up demand, which carried with it the absolute probability of inflation following it, as well as then the Ukrainian war, which had a direct impact on the price of oil and the price of natural gas. And so there were a whole bunch of factors. And there was also a substantial deficit expenditures. But I might add that those deficit expenditures had started in the last year of the Trump administration was the largest of his deficits, all of which contributed to 7.5 or 7.8 trillion of total deficit. And so, you know, it's just, like I said on the last show, you can look at things that happen coincidentally and you can find a correlation in time, but you have to find causation in order for it to be important. I was driving a blue car during that period, but my blue car wasn't what was causing the interest rate to be what it was. I shifted cars and started driving a white car, and it didn't cause the inflation. Now, you know, there are some causative factors associated with the deficits that have been experienced under the Biden administration, which might have contributed to the inflation. But the inflation rate in the United States has gone down much more rapidly than the inflation rate reduced in other countries, in Western Europe, for instance. And so this is just a complicated subject, and to try and reduce it to simplicity is doing it a disservice, and it's really just a political process. But we weren't talking about the economy that you, when we called in, we were talking about capitalism, okay? And we were talking about an issue much more macro than what you wanted to reduce it to, which is politics.
Yeah. So, CJ, we'll give you one more kick at the can. Go ahead.
Well, didn't answer my question, though.
CJ.
Did President Biden listen to Larry Summers? No, he didn't. He spent away. And inflation is 19% over 3.5 years.
Hey, CJ.
Because of President Biden.
Hey,
it's
CJ.
It's down to 3% now.
CJ, it's one of the reasons why when we have you on, you want to talk about whatever it is you want to talk about, and you say we're deflecting. When we're on a subject, you change the subject and you give us the same medicine every day. Sandy just really pointed out how we got to where we are. You totally ignored it and brought up Joe Biden. Thank you very much for the call. How do you, Sandy, then even begin if people are locked into what they've heard?
Well, the other thing is that, and one of the things we're going to talk about, we were talking about briefly, was the low interest rates that prevailed from the time of the collapse of the economy at the end of the George Bush II, when we had the financial collapse, and then on through the Obama administration and following on through the Trump administration. All of that was historically and profoundly different than modern economic history since 1900, okay? The notion that we would have essentially 1% interest, zero interest rates for such a long period of time was a total anomaly, and it wasn't something that actually an economy could long experience without having some real serious side effects associated with having zero cost money like that. One of the serious effects has been the transfer of wealth to the wealthy, and the diminution of the relative wealth of everyone else because of this cheap money. But we should all understand that having mortgage rates go up to 6 or 7% is not to have mortgage rates that are off the charts high, but rather to have mortgage rates that are moving towards the norm of what we've experienced since 1925, okay? Since post-World War II. You know, the Depression was a period of very low interest rates, but after the Depression, since World War II, you know, we had never experienced anything like what we experienced from 2008 until 2020.
You know, Sandy, I remember having conversations with you about 0% interest. And I remember you saying that there'll be a reckoning. Well, we got comfortable and used to credit cards with 0% interest, not just for a month. Well, not just for a year.
Well, it's heroin. You know, it's created low interest rate junkies for all of us.
844-967-2789. Hang on the phone lines, guys. You're tuned into the Earl Ingram Show.
This is Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK. You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
Pacific Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Two people are dead after four vehicles crashed between Horicon and West Bend Wednesday. Dodge County Sheriff's investigators say a 17-year-old driver crossed the center line on Highway 33 and struck a pickup truck, which caused a chain reaction. An 84-year-old man and a 79-year-old woman were pronounced dead at the scene. 130,000 people are expected to be living with Alzheimer's in Wisconsin next year. Abby Meisner is with the Alzheimer's Association. She says 40% of cases are linked to risk factors people can control.
Things like having too high of blood pressure or not enough physical activity, lack of exercise, things like that, getting good sleep, all of those things are so important.
New research shows changes can happen in the brain at least 20 years before a person is diagnosed. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WLAK News, I'm James Kelly. The Essentia Health Fitness Expo kicked off at the Duluth Entertainment Convention Center on Thursday. According to a WDIO report, the event features over 100 vendors from around the area with running apparel and athletic services and technology. The event also features Dakota Lindworm, an Olympian and two-time champion of Grandma's Marathon, and Chris Nikich, a Guinness World Record holder. The Fitness Expo will be open until 8 p.m. on Friday, and more event information can be found online. The Essentia Health Foundation has received a $125,000 donation to help area families affected by childhood cancer. The donation was made by AmSoil, Inc. through the creation of the Amatuzio Family AmSoil Fund, which will pay out the $125,000 donation over 5 years. The fund will provide financial assistance to families who are experiencing hardships due to their child's diagnosis and treatment requirements, hoping to lighten the burden on those vulnerable families. And that's what you need to know. For WLAK News, I'm James Kelly.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Here's a feel-good story. A family of fourth-degree black belts stopped a sexual assault outside Houston, Texas. The attack took place Tuesday as the family was closing up their dojo for the day and heard screams. They rushed next door and found a man assaulting a woman. The attack was over immediately. The attacker was only a yellow belt. The family subdued the man until police arrived. Nice story. Revenge is a dish best served from the stage if you're Taylor Swift. Scooter Braun, the man responsible for selling Swift's master recordings to a private equity group, got a special send-up from Swift during a recent concert. Entertainment Weekly reports that the 14-time Grammy winner performed a medley of I Forgot You Existed and This Is Why We Can't Have Nice Things, two songs written to diss Braun during a recent concert. The entire audience was in on the joke and, along with Swift, literally had the last laugh. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 7 to 9 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. Showers and storms possible today, a high near 72. Some of those storms could have heavy rain. We're talking an inch or two of rain possible today. Another inch or two possible tonight with showers and thunderstorms, a low of 67. For Saturday, scattered storms and a high near 77.
Right now, it's 62.
Pizza's here.
Oh, great. I'd love some, but I'm worried about my stomach issues.
If you're worried about having diarrhea, gas, bloating, stomach pain, or loose, oily stools, it may not just be stomach issues. It could be a condition called exocrine pancreatic insufficiency, or EPI. With EPI, the pancreas doesn't release enough enzymes to break down food, but EPI is manageable. Use the symptom checker on IdentifyEPI.com and talk to your doctor. That's IdentifyEPI.com. Sponsored by AbbVie.
Get high-quality paints and save big money on your next project now at Menards. Give your room a fresh new look with Pittsburgh Ultra Interior Paint. It's a paint and primer in one that provides a durable, washable finish that can be made in thousands of colors. Save big money on Ultra Interior Paint and head into Menards to get your paint project started today.
Save big money at
Todd Albaugh.
Hey everybody, join us next time as our old friend Peter Rapine of EPOM's World stops by with a lighter look at the week in review. Do not miss it.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2.
Well, one thing's for sure. This music really denotes that I am 70 years old.
Leslie Gore.
That's about how long ago.
Leslie Gore.
Yeah, I remember that music.
You were probably 10 years old.
Yeah, but I remember it. Yeah. Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. Text us at that same number. It's Friday. That means Friday's my co-host, Sandy Williams. And Sandy, one more time.
Well, today is June 21st, and I accidentally found out yesterday you were going to try and keep this from me. We're great friends.
It was late last night.
Apparently, this was a secret.
No, I didn't know. I just didn't think it was a big deal.
This is Earl Ingram's 70th birthday today. June 21st, 1954 was the day that changed the world.
All right. Let's go to Brendan from New Jersey. Hey, good morning to you, Brendan.
Good morning, Earl. Happy birthday.
Thank you.
Love the hat.
Yeah, well, it's compliments to Sandy.
There you go. So I just wanted to respond. You guys were talking about a couple of different things. Of course, our friend CJ called. And CJ, you probably should be staring at those Ten Commandments and hoping to God that if Trump gets into office, he even cares about your financial situation and all your problems not being able to buy a house, because he doesn't really care. So once you realize that, you can get on a better path. But anyway, the Ten Commandment thing in the school, these are the red states, like I said before, reacting quickly and starting their agenda towards the, Project 2025, the Heritage Foundation, and getting things done at a state level so that they can say, well, we got it done. We're going to see this in Texas. Texas already was promoting putting pastors in schools as counselors. And promoting this religious direction. So, and as I said the other day, I miss Sandy's point on it, and I'd love to hear. I know the ACLU is involved already in a legal battle with this. If you make room for one, you're going to have to make room for a whole bunch. So I hope we're going to have to cut the chalkboards down and, just start putting up Torahs and Bibles and Ten Commandments and this and that. So, but hey, listen, enjoy your birthday. Have a great weekend. And we'll talk to you
later.
Hey,
man, thank you for always, adding relevant information to the show, Sandy.
Well, he's absolutely dead on, and the notion of pastors as counselors, like I said, this is a slippery slope. And when you start, there's no stopping. And what worries me is the notion that if this isn't a slam dunk case for the ACLU to win under the First Amendment, then we are on that slippery slope. And it's going to get very confusing and very difficult to manage at any level.
So this clearly would be fast-tracked to the Supreme Court, right?
I don't know about fast-tracking. The Supreme Court decides how fast things get to it. but it'll definitely get there. I suspect it'll go first to a federal court, and hopefully the federal court will have the right answer right out of the chute. But, who knows? There's going to be a lot of picking and choosing to try and find friendly courts. That's what that article is all about. And that's what's been going on across the country is people who are interested in pursuing ideological positions that test the limits of the Constitution want to pick their venue. They want to pick which district they have the case first decided in because they can find friendly judges.
All right, let's go to Don from Milwaukee. Good morning to you, Don. You say what?
Good morning, Earl. Well, first of all, I'd like to wish you a happy birthday.
Thank you.
Yeah, you bet. I have a little pet peeve here. I was really enjoying your program and the input from Sandy, and then this guy named CJ's got to throw a monkey wrench on it. I mean, that's really being rude. And talk about a topic. You guys are talking about the Ten Commandments. Boy, that's being rude, you know? I was really enjoying it, and he had to wreck everything and come along with something from out of left field. You guys are talking about a topic, and it was really enjoyable. I was really getting into it, you know. Hey, I got to give that other caller before there, at least he stuck with the Ten Commandments, you know, stayed on topic, you know. You know, this reminds me of, the debate last year,
presidential election.
Between Biden and I mean, he would never answer a question either. The moderator would ask Trump a question. I don't know if you remember that.
Yeah, I do.
But he'd ask, and then the moderator would ask Trump a question, you know, and then he said, ask him. Well, wait a minute. Why don't you answer the question? What the matter?
Hey, Don, thank you very much for the call, as always. Really appreciate it. Let's go to Cindy from Appleton. Good morning to you, Cindy. Thank you for the call.
Well, good morning. And this whole Ten Commandment thing just scares the bejesus out of me, because you're going to put this in public schools, and this will just become another way to shame people who are atheists or agnostics or children who believe that they are, you know, not the sex they were born with, and people who are dating someone that's not maybe of their same color. These are all things that they, as Republicans, seem to think is vile. So this is going to just become another huge hate mongering way to shame people, and it's just disgusting.
You know, Sandy, she pointed out some other aspects of this that probably, you know, will come along with it.
Well, it's probably at least latently involved with it. You know, the Ten Commandments, I think there was a reference, I just did some research on whether or not the Ten Commandments appear in and around the Supreme Court building. And there are definitely pictures of Moses with the tablets, which is in conjunction with other sculpted figures of people carrying laws, okay, the Ten Commandments being some of the laws that have been handed down over the years, or felt to have been handed down over the years. And my point is not that the Ten Commandments have anything intrinsically wrong with them. They are more or less a statement of many things that are viewed as natural law. It's just that they are based in liturgy, and liturgy belongs in churches, and churches don't belong in government. And that's something that we fundamentally decided with when we set up the First Amendment to the Constitution, and it was fundamental to the founders.
So the fight has already been fought on this, is what you're saying.
Yeah, and it's unfortunately we fight these fights and then they get forgotten, and people forget what the downside is of being able to impose their religious view. You know, that's maybe enchanting for someone who wants to spread their own religious view, but how will they feel when someone else wants to spread their religious view to them and they aren't coincident, okay? They don't square with one another. That's been the problem historically over the centuries.
You know, it battles inside of each religion. Christianity, you know, has I don't know how many different tenets of Christianity. Islam has I don't know how many different tenets of Islam. I mean, there's battles inside of each one of these religions. Why say we've got one that's the perfect one and everybody's going to go according to this one? You know why? Because this is what I believe.
Well, and in fact, you know, like I said before, there's a lot of talk about the horror of the imposition, for instance, of Sharia law, which is the Islamic code of justice. And, you know, but would there be the same view if what was going to be imposed by government was viewed as the Christian code of justice? And that's a problem, you know? I mean, and I'm confident that would be a very bad idea, but we're kind of creeping in that direction. We're, you know, this whole notion of a Christian nationalism begins to creep in the direction of the imposition of Christianity through government.
You know, Sandy, I've got some sad news. President Trump lashes out at Fox News because Fox News reported yesterday that Donald Trump is trailing Joe Biden for the first time in, you know, months or weeks and Donald Trump's response. Former President Trump blasted Fox News on yesterday after the network published a poll showing him trailing President Biden nationally for the first time this year. Trump went ballistic on Fox News. So let me ask you, Sandy. Fox News supports him. They're the guys who were saying, that's my guy. It's all they did was reported something once that they really didn't want to report.
Well, we've watched over the period of his presidency and subsequently what happens to anybody if they run cross current with Donald Trump. If they disagreeing with Donald Trump appears to be something that can put you into a real position of hurt with respect to Trump's view and maybe the view of MAGA Republicans. And I don't understand it.
But a network as powerful as Fox.
Well, you know, I think there's this constant test of wills between Fox and Donald Trump. Donald Trump believes he made Fox, and Fox believes they made Donald Trump. And I'm afraid both of them made Frankenstein's monster.
the things almost seem to be, unreal. When one person, singular, can control all of these things, he might as well wave a wand or wave his hand. He's got that kind of juice, Sandy. Yeah. That he's telling Fox News what they can show, what they can't show. And they've been capitulating. And one time, and he's watching everything like a hawk. Oh, what's going on with Fox News? What's going on?
Well, like Dr. Fauci reported, the thing that he was most interested in with all those press conferences that related to the daily press conferences on the COVID situation was the ratings of the show associated with the press conferences. You know, I mean, that was pretty telling.
You know, and so we're, I'll tell you, Sandy, I'll be glad when this stuff is over. You know, it is going to end at a given point in time.
It is. You promise?
Well, and so, I mean, I really don't know. None of us know how it's going to end up. It's going to be a train wreck, you know, either way. Whether he wins and gets in office and gets 4 years to wreck things, and I mean, Sandy, really, really wreck things, right?
Well, the Project 2025 and whether he adheres to all of it or whether he goes his own direction might even be more unthinkable in terms of what he wants to do. But the direction they're going is so contrary to what people should want in terms of wanting to make sure that their government is responsive to them, okay? Putting all the power you can unilaterally into an individual's hands as president runs so contrary to the notion of the people wanting to make sure that government is responsive to them. What they're basically putting all their hope on is that Donald Trump will be a benevolent authoritarian leader. Well, there's no evidence whatsoever that Donald Trump is benevolent. There's also no historical evidence that authoritarian leaders in the long run are benevolent to the people.
You know, 844-967-2789. Wait until students start kicking back broken commandments at the teachers. Think of it, historic history, literature classes turning into text versus religion. 844-967-2789 is the number. You tune into the Earl Ingram Show.
Judy and Johnny just walked through the door like a queen with her king. Oh, what a birthday surprise. Judy's wearing his ring.
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK, Amory's home for Up North News Radio.
It's official. Governor Tony Evers proclaims this June is Pride Month in Wisconsin. But did you know the state has a long history of activism alongside LGBTQ plus communities and allies? The Civic Media Radio Network supports the impact and celebrations and is sharing thoughtful stories all month long.
Bob Neal and Edgar Hellam fell in love in the 1930s. But they also fell in love with Mineral Point, Wisconsin, where they worked together to rescue and restore buildings set to be demolished. The gay couple gave Cornish language names to those properties. The best known may be Pendarvis, a piece of history from the mid-1800s when Mineral Point was a lead mining town. Their success during the Great Depression is considered the start of what's turned the area into an art and tourism hub. It's a story of love and preservation, and you can still experience it today thanks to Bob and Edgar. I'm Terry Barr.
You're listening to Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK.
All right, welcome back to the last few minutes of the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. It's Friday. It means Friday's with Sandy Williams. Let's go right to the phone lines. Let's go to Mark from the SAC. Good morning to you, Mark. How you doing, sir? You say what?
Yeah, thanks for taking my call. Yeah, it's interesting. You kind of dragged my mind in a different direction there for the whole religious thing that Roger Williams, co-founder of the Baptist Church back in the mid-17th century, actually proposed strict separation of church and state and actually stated there should be no coercion in religion at all. I would have religious differences with him, but it's just interesting that the founder of the Baptist Church was an advocate of separation of church and state in the 17th century, a full century ahead of our Constitution. And this morning I just happened to crack open my copy of Madison's Notes on the Constitutional Convention, which kind of references that Hamilton's Federalist 75 warning about aggrandizement and avarice of a chief magistrate. But apparently Governor Morris, who was one of the attendees of the Constitutional Convention, said that wealth tends to corrupt the mind and nourish its love of power and to stimulate it to oppression. History proves that this to be the spirit of the opulent, where he's warning against oligarchy, warning against aristocracy. And I think that this whole Project 2025 is also a gateway to, we need an aristocracy, we need an oligarch, we need religious commanders like we have when the Pope was running everything, or Calvin and Luther were running everything and then encouraging their followers to religious war against people they didn't agree with.
Well, Sandy, you want to respond to Mark?
Well, he's reciting, I think, what is the problem? The First Amendment was there for that very reason, all of those issues. I remember when this is kind of an extraneous point, but when John F. Kennedy was running, the fear was, he was the first Catholic president, the fear was that he would be taking edicts from the Pope and that the president would become immersed in essentially the Catholic liturgy that would be imposed on the country. And there was a real fear of that, okay? And so our country has always had an appropriate degree of apprehension about mixing church with state. It sort of got over it because it didn't materialize at all with JFK. But I think there's a growing fear now that it's beginning to materialize, particularly in the courts, as courts become much more highly reflective of and discussing the interposition between religion and government.
All right, let's go back to Mike from Kenosha. Hey, welcome back, Mike. You say what?
Thanks. Great call from Mark. You hit it on the head. We have a separation of church and state as a norm. It was really a secondary thought in most people's minds. We settled in, just like with women's reproductive health care. We had settled law. But what happened is that the small group who call themselves MAGA coming in with the loudest voice in the room and with a whole bunch of money and a whole bunch of attention and just knocked everything on its keister. So instead of going forward and looking at new technologies for energy and doing all these other things, no, we're in the dark ages again. We're reliving so many things that we had contemplated, had discussed, and settled long, long time ago, settled norms. So, we were united. But unfortunately, MAGA has came in, and now they are wagging the dog in too many places. And I'm just tired of coddling them. I'm calling them out for who they are, and that is a cult and a threat to our democracy and our republic.
Hey, Mike. Thank you very much. Thank you very much for the call. You know, Sandy, we are at times walking, on eggshells when it comes to responding to MAGA and Trump. And they're not doing the same.
Well, I think I've been talking about this a lot, and now Mark just talked about it, but norms. We've had so many norms that we've all settled into that we didn't have to relitigate. We didn't have to set up rules and regulations to cause us to conform to a whole set of norms that we were used to living within. And what's happening now is all these norms are being thrown away, and we're having to essentially relitigate, rewrite, rethink, reestablish who we are and what we are on the most basic issues, and one of them being really the description and nature of our democracy. And I don't think people understand that that's what's being rewritten right now, and what's being renegotiated and re-argued is the nature of our democracy. And if people realize that, I think they would have a different view of the discussion.
So these people who are, Trump is certainly not creating all of these things himself. He's doing the work of some powerful people behind him.
Well, I don't think I think he's a tool that they use. I don't think he even understands the extent to which he's a tool. He's willing to do anything that secures for him power. And so people with power come to him and present to him the opportunity for power. If you toe this line or toe that line, he had no position whatsoever associated with for instance, the issue of abortion. 30 years ago, he had the opposite position that he's now taking. But he's an opportunist, and opportunists are the people who get taken advantage of by people who are powerful.
So do you think his power in his mind means more money he'll wind up getting?
Yes, I think he measures power by polls, okay? He doesn't measure power by accomplishments that are accomplishments for anything other than his bank account and the manifestation of power that he might have that's measured through polls and popularity. And, what he brings to the party is this ability to ignore norms altogether. He's a person who doesn't reside within norms. I hear the music. Happy birthday, Earl.
Thank you very much. Thank everybody who made the show go. Thanks for another great week. Thank you, Calvin. Couldn't do it without you. Up next, Jane Madnair, Greg Bott, Madnair on Air, and this birthday will be over soon.
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK, Amory's home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Crude and Dom.
Tune in to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. A Friday edition will air the grievances and get a legal update. Devil's Friday.
The Devil's Advocates, weekdays 4 till 6. 100 days, 144,000 minutes. The countdown to the November presidential election is on, and Maggie Dawn is counting too as she continues her special segment, Biden's Top 100.
Having heard from each and every one of you, I should start talking about what President Biden is proposing us for his second term.
Biden's Top 100 continues. You're invited to be part of it too. Call or text the Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays starting at 2 across the Civic Media Radio Network and the app.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us. You're listening to Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK Amory and 107.5 FM W298 DK Amory, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.